Nowhere else in the Metroplex will you go and hear rap, a little bit of spa music, a little bit of music from the Big Easy, all on the same week. Praise the Lord. Can somebody give God some praise for just for that? Jada leaned over to me and said, hey, y'all giving out massages? It's worship. Didn't you hear Amazing Grace? In the, I know, but it just feels like a massage song. Help us, Jesus. Help us, please. Help us, Lord. Help us. All right, let's see if we can jump into the Word today. Thanks for being here, everybody. Why don't you stand with me? Let's read the Word of the Lord. We're going to read Mark chapter 8, and then we're going to read Luke chapter 14. Let's see if we can get into both of those. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Then we're going to read Luke chapter 14. Let's jump in here with this one. Here we go. And he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must take up his cross and, next verse, whoever Listen. For whoever wishes to save his life, that means you make life all about you, right? If that's you, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, in other words, you make life about others around you, not about you, and the gospel, then you will save it. Isn't that good news for somebody? Quit being selfish. Quit focusing all about you. That's the next one. Luke chapter 14. Here's what it has to say. You're not going to like this one. Well, notice there's large crowds following Jesus. He wants to thin out the crowd. So whatever he says after this, its goal is to thin out the crowd. If you ever want to just shrink the church from four services to one, here's what you tell people. You ready? You ready? Here we go. This is what Jesus was doing. Listen, for real, listen. Now, large crowds were going along with, you know why they're going along with him? Because he's doing miracles. He said, hey, heal me. He says, be healed. Oh, my gosh. Hey, he says, I got a withered hand. Heal it. Boom. Oh, my gosh. All right? So that's what's going on. So he says, okay, you know, y'all follow me for the wrong reasons. He need to say this to some churches, don't he? Amen. Y'all thought you just want a blessing. That's the only reason you want. You want, hey, God, bless me this. Give me a bigger car. Give me a bigger house. Give me more kids. Give me less kids. You just want a blessing. That's what you want. Here we go. So, and he turned. Here it is. Thinned the crowd out. And he turned and said to them, here we go. If anyone comes to me and does not hate. Stop right there. Does not hate. He's not talking about the emotion of hate. It's not what he's talking about. He's actually talking about the loyalty. If you're not more loyal to me than your dad, or he's talking about who calls the shots in your life. If you're saying, well, my dad calls the shots more than Jesus, then you can't be his disciple. He's saying if your mama calls the shots more than Jesus, then you can't be my disciple. He says, for some of you, if your wife calls the shots more than Jesus, then he's saying, yeah, you can't be my disciple. But then he knew he was going to address Collin in Denton County. So he went to the one that all of y'all struggle with. And say this word with me right here. He knew where he's talking. He knew that sometime in the future, there'll be a county called Collin and Denton. So he says, those of you who worship your kids, if you're not more loyal to me, if I don't call the shots more than your kids, then you can't be my disciple. If your kids run you and not me, then you can't be my disciple. Let's move on. And brothers and sisters. Then don't read no more yet. Then he says, oh, by the way, I know who you love the most. You love you the most. So let me talk to you. And he has to even emphasize it. Yes, and even his own life. And even you. He says, I know you love you more than everybody else. If you're calling the shots on your own life, and not me calling the shots, Jesus says, then you can't be my disciples. He says, I've got to be the one that called the shots. I don't care how you feel. I don't care what your mind's going through. I need to call the shots, not you. He says, if you don't do that, you can't be. You see how the crowd gets thin? You be like, okay, I'm done. Keep your miracles. I'm out. I'm done. I need to call my own shots. The truth be told, if he went into most churches today and said this right here, don't come back to church. Don't come back to church if you don't let me call the shots. Church empty. Anybody come up? You'd be like, okay, well, you want me to tell the truth? All right. I call my shots. Because that's how we really are. Sit down. We need to pray again. No, for real, we need to pray again. Jesus, help our unbelief and help us truly trust you in calling the shots over our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been talking in this series about know your why. Know your why. Here's what we said last week. Last week we said this very simple statement. It's number one in your note sheet. We said, everyone ends up somewhere. Everyone ends up somewhere. Few people end up somewhere intentionally. Everyone ends up somewhere. Few people have the intentionality and the purpose to choose where they're going to go and then end up there. The point in this entire series, over the next 2 or 3 weeks, the point is this. I want every regular attendee at this church to know their why. My goal, unapologetically, is that no more meaningless life for nobody in this church. That every last one of us will experience what it means to walk in your purpose, to walk in your calling, to do what God has called you to do. And what we've suggested so far is that one of the ways you begin the process of doing that is by knowing what breaks your heart. The question you must ask is, what breaks my heart? If you don't ask it, what will happen to you is you will sit back, you will criticize everything and do nothing. You will sit back and you'll play the armchair quarterback and you will discuss everything. You will agree with the media. You will shout at your television. You will fire off a nasty text. And you will just complain about everything you see. But you won't do what God's called you to do. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we're aiming at today. What we suggested last time was that too many of us ask the question, what should I do about me? That's the question we ask. What should I do about me? That's not the most important question. What we ask when we say this is, hey, what do I need to do? How do I look finer? How much weight do I need to lose? How much can I get out of debt? How much more money do I need to make? And we always ask questions, what should I do about me? And the challenge last week was we ought to switch the question and ask it this way, what should be done around me? The way you know what breaks your heart is by starting to ask the question, what should be done around me? Ask this one, everybody, out loud. What should be done around me? That's the question we should be focusing on. We suggested last time as well that what Nehemiah did was he zoomed in, understood what broke his heart, and then God says, Nehemiah, after 4 months of prayer, I want you to be part of that solution. And so we showed you 3 circles, and we suggested that wherever the intersection is where your calling, is where your white hot why is. In the business world, they call it your top box or your white hot lie. Your white hot why is what they call it. And it's the intersection of your core values, your past experiences, and your spiritual gifts or the abilities or the talents that you have. And wherever all 3 coincide, then at that intersection becomes what God has customized for you. We suggested last time that just like the puzzle piece you got when you came into church today, you have no idea what God's doing all around you. Nehemiah did not know that Zerubbabel was going to be there and that Ezra was going to be there and that later on, 400 days later, Jesus would show up in the very temple area where he rebuilt that wall. He had no idea what God was up to. He was painting this beautiful picture, and your role and Nehemiah's role was just one small piece in the painting that God has painted. And my concern is that we have too many Christians that could not care one rip about what God is doing because they're so all consumed with what you want to do yourself. And the challenge on the floor today and in the series is, I want to say every regular attendee, I want them to be clear on what God is calling them to do. So let's jump in and let's see if we can help us solve this problem. Now, if you don't mind, go to number one in your notes. You should have a notes page. Go to number one in your notes, and let's talk a little bit about this. Ladies and gentlemen, every inspirational leader communicates the same way. No matter who you're talking about, whether you're talking about one of the popes, whether you're talking about Martin Luther King Jr., whether you're talking about Nelson Mandela, if you love a leader today, it's because they have clarified their why and you agree with their why. Any great communicator, you love their why and you agree with it, and that's why you like to be engaged with them as much as you do. Listen, please, listen. The same thing goes for organizations. Any organization you love, anyone, you just love, oh my gosh, I just can't get enough of them. I'm like, oh my, yeah, you just love them. The reason you love them is because you love their why. You just haven't thought about it long enough, but you love their why, and they've made their why the focus of what they do. Any great entrepreneur, any great corporate leader has to know their why. It's what drives through the corporation if that corporation is healthy, if that organization is healthy. It's driven by a why. Let me give you some illustrations because you know it. Chick-fil-A. The reason you love Chick-fil-A is because you know their why. It's because they believe in providing you good, healthy, for real food. I don't know what the stores beside them offer. They say it's fries, but I don't know. That ain't no potato. They got it somehow, but it's not potato. When you go to Chick-fil-A, you get for real potato in a for real oil that it's fried, and then you know they care about the food they're providing for you. They give you they try to give you the best quality food for you. You love them because they take Sundays off and they still make more money than them other ones. Here's why. Because you love their why. You go to them on a Thursday or Friday, don't go on Saturday, because the line go round and round and round and round. And you look at their competitors and two people in the line. The reason you love it is because you know what they stand for and you know their why. Once you know their why, then listen, the why pulls you toward them. Okay, oh, you don't believe it. There's another one. I don't like them, but I go there all the time. I don't like them. They're too expensive. But I go there all the time. Whole Foods. I don't like them because they're too expensive. You get one, I go there, I try to go there at least three times a week, and I get one drink like this, $1,000. It got everything in it too. It got kale, it got everything in it. It's all good for you, all the stuff your mama told you to eat, and you say, I ain't eating it. Whole Foods putting in one little drink like this, $1,099. But the reason you go there is because you believe in what? Because they argue there is nothing here that's synthetic. If it's not real, all natural food, we don't sell it in here. You know their why, so you'll go there. If you want fish, you say, hey, I need a Alaskan something. And they call the dude in Alaska. He's on his boat. He said, got it. They don't, listen. They don't use nets to catch their fish. Some joker going up there talking about, they get it on today's Sunday. They get it today at 4 o'clock. They get it on the plane, get it down to the Whole Foods right over here in Fairview, Texas. By Monday at 5, when you come off of work, you get the fish. It ain't never touch a freezer. It ain't never been frozen. And you get it and you be like, ooh, no, it costs $4,000, but praise the Lord. The reason you love it is because if you go to one of their competitors, they caught it in, no, let me stop. It's been frozen for a minute. Let's just keep it right there. And then they get, the reason you love them is because they tried, I don't even know if it's true, but it don't matter. They sell a good game. They try their very best to make sure you get the freshest ingredient. They call the little farmer down the street. They don't go to these messes, but they want the little farmer who just grew it all in his backyard and no pesticides or nothing. I don't know how they always fresh, they always green, they always yellow, they always pretty, but no pesticides, no, and bring it, and all of a sudden you get them, like, it's the, and then when you go, it's like walking in Neiman Marcus. You go into Whole Foods and everybody's so sadiddy. And then Amazon, why am I talking about this? Let's stop. Let's move on. Anyways, Amazon gone bought them. If you think you see sadiddy yet, you finna walk through there and don't press nothing. You just take your food and walk right out. And be like, praise the Lord, I got my food and I don't have to swipe anything because they have the mark of the beast. No. Let's keep going. The reason you love them though, the reason you love them is because you know their why. Who is drawn to you because they know your why? Who's drawn to you because they know your why? If you have your why, people are drawn to you. The question is, who's drawn to you? Because you are clear on what your why is. There are four gifts you get when you know your why. Here they are. Four. Anybody that knows their why have these four gifts. You're focused if you know your why. You have experience in peace, endurance, and passion. If you know your why, these are the four gifts that you get when you walk in your calling. You're focused. Nobody has to tell you what to do. You have a to-do list and you have a not-to-do list. Somebody comes and says, hey, do you want to do this? No, I don't want to do that. That's not a part of my prayer. You get to tell them no, and you say it in confidence because you know that don't have nothing to do with your purpose. We got too many people that just care that somebody like them. So, hey, you want to go? Yeah, let's come over here. Yeah, let's come over here. That's why you don't get none done. Because you walk in and trying to please everybody else because you're doing everybody else's purpose because you don't know yours. Too often it happens. The next one is peace. You walk around, I'm just frustrated. This person getting on my last nerve. This person getting on my last nerve. You're walking around with zero peace because you don't know your purpose. So everybody can frustrate you because you don't know the purpose to which God has called you. And we've said it's by divine design that he's written it on your heart. It's sovereign that he's written it on your heart. Whatever breaks your heart, it is because God has been doing a work when you weren't listening, when you weren't following him, when you weren't being attuned to what he was doing. He was doing a work in your life. Now is the time to say, okay, God, what have you been doing? Because if you want to know what God wants done, then you have to look at what he has done. And he says, you want to have peace, then you got to work. Endurance, the only reason you get to work through difficult seasons and bounce back. And they wonder, how come you just keep bouncing back and back and back and back again? It's because you know what God's called you to do. So people don't just be, you get hit down, you get back up. You get knocked down, you get beat down, you get back up. Because you know you're on mission for the glory of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we have too many people walking around idle. We have too many people walking around meaningless. We have too many people that are going through the motions. And if you don't know it, your kids for sure not going to know theirs. Because they see you doing whatever. So you're training them to do whatever. Because you're not focused. And then the last one is passion. Nobody has to get you up in the morning. Nobody has to tell you, hey man, you were, no, what they're telling you is you're working too hard. Calm down, take a vacation. Because you know that you know what he's called you to do. This is easy for me, y'all. It's easy because I know what I'm called to do. I know that part of my goal, part of my journey, part of what breaks my heart is to see the local church operate like God's bride. Whenever I don't see it, I get bent out of shape. I do. It breaks my heart, and it does. And so I'm so focused. When somebody says, hey, you want to come preach at our church on Sunday morning? I tell them no. Because I'm not trying to impress nobody. I don't care about what's going on in your church. God bless you. You got a church to run your church. I go to two churches every year. Any two, a small one and a larger one. And so people would invite me out there. I said, no, I don't want to do that. But if they invite me to come talk to their leaders, I'll do it any day of the week. Because I know what to say no to and what to say yes to. It's easy for me. It really is easy. When you talk about peace,
Once you know what God's called you to do and you're doing it, it's like you're living an effortless life. Because you're being fueled by the Spirit of the living God to do what He's written on your heart. You know it. Talk about endurance. Y'all used to take me off, but y'all won't take me off no more. Y'all can send me them long emails. I don't, if the email go beyond five sentences, I ain't reading it. God bless you. You can write confidential. Y'all do this all the time. Confidential, your eyes only pastor's eye. Nobody else should see it. God bless you. You can send it all you want. If it has more than five sentences, I'm not reading. Send me an email. It got 18 paragraphs. God bless you. I ain't reading it. I look at the first five and say, hey, somebody y'all read that. Then they say, hey, tell me in two words what they say. You can't sum it up in two words. I'm not reading it. God bless them. You can say, you can get mad at me all you want. It does not bother me anymore because I know what He's called me to do. And you getting mad at me is not going to stop me from doing what God's called me to do. It don't matter anymore. I used to be like, Jada, they don't love me. They don't think I'm all that. And she'd be like, it's okay, baby. God's called you to do it. It's okay. I know, but they don't like me. Don't they know? Then I used to say this. Don't they know my heart? I'm trying to do the right thing. I didn't mean it like that. And she says, all right, babe. Today, now. I'm going to send a letter or call off. Hey, I need to talk. I ain't talking to nobody else but pastor. But I'm leaving the church. You don't even want to know what I say. I'm not even going to tell you. But here's what you need to know. I care deeply about every single person that comes to the church. I really, really do. And I really care about your concern because if we've done something wrong, I want to be the first to say, my bad, let's try and do it better next time. I promise you that's the case. If all you want to do is criticize and not be a part of the solution, then God bless you. Yeah. If all you want to do is stay on the sideline, hey, y'all ain't doing this, y'all ain't doing this. What God's called us to do is too big for me to be sitting around concerned about moping around you all day long. I will promise you we're going to come after you the best we know how because God left the 99 to go after the one. But listen to me. If all you want us to do is run after you for the rest of your life, God bless you. God bless your soul. We're going to pray that God will catch you and bring you back. For real. Here's why. Here's why, because we know our why. We really do. We know our why. And so we can deal with more adversity when we have six or seven different issues happening at the same time. Once you know God's with you and He's called you to this, He gonna work it out. It's His problem, not mine, because He called me to do this. He better open a path so we can go through it. It's the confidence you have when you know God told you to do it. Why would you want to walk in any other life than that one? The last one is passion. Nobody has to get me up, I promise you. Nobody in this church outworks me, I promise you. Nobody. They'll tell you all the time. they say to me all the time, they say, some of our millennials, they say, we're trying to work at your pace, Pastor, but we can't do it. We can't do it. That's not something you, listen, the reason is because when you know you've called to do something, here's what you need to know about leadership. It's stewardship and it has an end. So you better give it and run your hardest while you got time. And because the day is coming when you need to end. And too many of them, too many people die in the pulpit. I ain't dying in the pulpit. God bless y'all. It's the reason why I'm going to preach less and less and less and let Jada and Eric preach more and more and more because they can die off of them four services all day long. With me. Well, not Jada, Eric can. All of them time. Listen. It's the reason why I don't apologize anymore for taking 8 weeks off. And you say, well, what he doing for 8 weeks? He lazy. Oh, you say all you want to say. It don't bother me one bit. It really don't. Because just because I'm not working in the church don't mean I'm not working on the church. Do you see what I'm saying? And by the way, just so you know, when you're doing your pastor, you got to make sure you're going to go the distance. And you got to make sure that you're doing everything you can to be the best that you can be when God needs you to be. And the only thing you don't get to do anymore, you don't manage time. Because as soon as it passes, you never get it back. You don't get it back. Energy. You got to make sure you're managing those well because of what He has called you to do. So when we bring other people in, we're bringing them in because everybody don't get to go on Saturdays. So I give up Saturdays every time, every week. My son looked at me talking about, Dad, you going to that church again? I'm like, yes, son. You want to eat? Okay, then we got to go to church. And we have these dialogues all the time. Do you let you want to move out and just live without no, for real, four-year-old. Hey, dude, you don't like when daddy leaves sometimes? Okay, well, let's talk about this. How about just let's live in the backyard and just see if you like living out there one time. It lasts about 10 minutes. He run back inside. But really, we have to, that's why sometimes when I take it off, it's because I need to spend a little bit of time balancing on that side so that I don't have to bounce on this side. No, for real. But when you know your path, you've got to go after what God's called you to do. You really do. It's your call. So here's my question for you. Do you know your why? What breaks your heart? Because when you know it, you literally are living life on point. Let's go to the next one. Here we go. Here's a challenge, however, in light of that. Next one says, at the end of your life, what would you want people to line up and thank you for? At the end of your life, what do you want people to line up and thank you for? Oh, thank you for doing that for me. Oh my gosh, it changed my life. Thank you for doing that for me. What do you want them to line up and thank you for? We have a couple here called the Webbers, and they care about and they're passionate about what breaks their heart is the foster care system. And their whole goal is to help as many people as they can foster to adopt. And they pour their lives into it. They do everything they can. They help churches do it more. They help our church do it more because they care about the people who does not have a representative for them, asking people, will you come get me out of this system? What breaks your heart? You know what they're going to have? They're going to have people line up and say, thank you for the sacrifices you made, for the money you've given, for fighting for us, for working with the legal system to get us out of there and place us in homes so that somebody can care about us on a daily basis. They'll line up and tell them thank you. How about you? What's somebody lining up and telling you thank you for? The end of your life. Here we go. Let's keep going. Number three says this. It will, however, if you're going to do this, it will require something of you. I promise you, you're going to have to give up time. You're going to have to give up money. You're going to have to give up a missed opportunity. You're going to have to give something up. Now, here comes the verse that we read. Can I read the verse for you? One translation says it this way. Whoever devotes themselves to themselves will have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. Let me read it again. Here's the translation. This is it. Here's the translation that many of you live by. Whoever devotes themselves to themselves will have nothing but themselves to show for themselves. Because you've made your whole life all about you. Everything about you have been, let me show me to how good I'm going to be. And so what do you have at the end of your life? Yourself. Nothing else. Yourself. Because you've made you the point of life. Here's what Jesus has to say. Let's go to the Luke chapter 14 passage. Here's what he has to say in Luke chapter 14. Watch this now. He said, if anybody comes to me and does not let me be the owner, the one who calls the shots over your father, mother, wife, kids, brother, sisters, yes, over your own life. If I don't call the shots over your own life, you have to give something up. You have to say no to yourself so that you can be truly my disciple. He says the only way, whenever you're going to pursue what breaks your heart, you must give something up. The two words in your blanks there is, you've got to, the tension is between self-improvement and self-denial. Isn't that the tension? I want to do that, Pastor. I want to do what I think God's called me to do. I want to lean in and give some time to this NGO. I want to lean in and give some time to church. I want to lean in, but I got to say no to something. And there is the tension of our lives. I love me so much, I don't want to say no to it. I love the lifestyle I have created. I don't want to say no to it. I want to keep saying yes to this. But then I got to say yes to what? To my why. But then if I say yes to my why, I got to say no to something over here. And I don't want to say no to anything over here because I love over here so much. Because isn't it the truth? We're all life-saving. What we want to is preserve our lives. We love it the way it is. We love our life. That's why you love this. Everything in your life is set up for you. That's why you love this.
just let me hold on to this. It feels so safe. Praise the Lord. I can't drown anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to you. Yes, Lord. It feels so secure because I'm again in control of everything. It feels so good. Woo! I get to sit. Praise the Lord. I can't drown. And God's saying, hey, I want you to get to the diving board. And I want you to jump. I know you don't know. I know you don't know what's going to happen. That's where I come in. Will you trust me? I know you're a control freak and you want to control everything and you want to know all the answers and you want it to be down to the last penny. But if you follow your why, you're not going to know the answers. That's the beauty of it. That's why he gets all the glory, because at the end of the day, you're going to jump, and that's why you can't take any credit. That's why I don't dare take credit for anything God's done in this church, because I jumped and he said, now I got you. How dare you take the credit for what God has done? It's the beauty of the life of faith. You get to trust him. But the danger for us, especially when we've worked so hard to have so much insurance, that if something happened, we're all loaded up with insurance. So we got a balloon on our house so that if somebody sues us, we got money to cover. And then we got, if we die, all our kids get $1 million apiece. And if we, and you got everything all squared away, so safe and tight and locked, that if God says jump, you'd be like, nope, can't do it. That's uncertain waters. So you never get to fulfill your why. You never get to do what's written on your heart, because you love the safety of your comfort zone. Because you care so much about self-improvement, you don't care about self-denial. And Jesus is going to say, here's what, what's the next verse? He says in the next verse. Here's what he said in the next verse. He says, whoever does not carry his own cross. Let's talk about that for a moment. Whoever does not carry his own, what does that mean? Carrying your cross back in the day means Rome was right and you were wrong. It means Rome, your verdict was correct, and I was wrong. That's why they wanted people to carry their own cross. Here's why Luke picks up the imagery. Luke picks up the imagery because here's what he's saying. Jesus, you were right. I want the world to know, Jesus, you were right. And I want the world to know, Jesus, I pledge allegiance to you, not to myself. That's why he says, I want you to take up your cross daily. In other words, I want you to daily show the world that you pledge allegiance to me, not to yourself. And I want you to carry your cross every day. I want you to get rid of this self-dependency. And I want you to walk with me. And that's why it thins out the crowd. Because too many of us don't want to do that. Too many of us are afraid to do that. Watch it. The next one says, this is the one I want you to memorize. As long as you say yes to you, you can say yes to helping others around you. As long as you say yes to you, you cannot say yes to helping others around you. Say it with me twice. As long as you say yes to you, you cannot say yes to helping others around you. One more time. As long as you say yes to you, you cannot say yes to helping others. You can't. You can't say yes because you keep saying yes to you. Therefore, your purpose is left undone. Your calling, never realized. Your red, your white, hot why never gets done because you keep saying yes to you. So here's God's question for you today. What breaks your heart, and will you take the steps to move in that direction? Watch number five. Purpose. Purpose is found on the border of what's in it for me, just over the line and outside of your comfort zone. Watch it. Here we go. See, there's the problem with many of us. We live in these comfort zones. This is your comfort tent. And it's so beautiful in here. It's all decked out. I mean, all, you know, wood, hardwood floors and lazy boys. And you watched the game. You watched the fight last night. And your boy won the fight. Send that knucklehead back to MMA, yeah, send him back over there. And you watch the Cowboys game, and we won. And you just all come. It's just, I mean, this is perfect. It's a perfect. The kids are doing good in school, and the house is doing well, and the car's doing well, and John's doing. And it's just the perfect picture, and you love it. And God is saying, but that's not what I've called you to do. You're not fulfilling anything that has to do with my purpose for you. So he said, if you're going to do that,
It's found, your purpose, your calling, your white hot why, it's found at the border of your comfort zone and what he has for you. And too many of us be like, you come right here and you be like, no. Woo, hey guys, how you doing? And you come right back to the comfort zone when God is saying, will you trust me that what I have over here is better than what you got over here? Will you trust me that I know what I'm doing and the plans I have for you are great plans, but you got to step out of your comfort zone and trust me? And what breaks my heart is that too many of us know that and would not even explore what that might look like. And what usually does it is fear of the same experiences that he has gotten you out of in the past. You are so fearful that you're going to end back there, that you don't even want to go to the path that he has created for you. And by the way, the only reason you got out of it in the first place is because he brought you out. So if he was good at the first time to bring you out of it, why don't you think he'd be good enough to get you out of it again? When all that's on the line is his purpose for you. His purpose for you. Turn the page over. Let's see if we can narrow the focus. Last week we talked about the three circles. So I want to zoom in there again. And I want to deal with the first one, which is your core values. The question is, what breaks your heart? And I'm going to give you some questions that you can ask that this whole week you ought to wrestle with it. So next week you come back with three or four core values that you have that you think when these are violated, it breaks my heart. Here are the questions. Let's give you six of them. The ones that are already written in, I want you to read them with me. So read number one, everybody out loud from all our campuses. Read them with me. Where do you refuse to bend? That's the question. Where? When at work, they say bend here, and you be like, that just don't feel right about me. Where do you refuse to bend? When the culture is moving us in a particular direction, and you be like, no, I know what God says about this. I will not bend. What is that for you? Then that might be a value that he wants to use. Number two says this. Number two says, what angers me? When you see stuff on television, when you see stuff on in social media, what angers you? What frustrates you? What is it that you love to comment on? What is it that you love to press? Like. What is it that when you see it, you got to watch the video? 2 minutes, got to watch it. And when you watch it, there's something that boils up inside. Don't just be a liker on social media. Do something about it. Don't just be one that comments and let them know give them a piece of your mind. Go find somebody that's actually doing something about it and say, let's do it. Don't just make noise. Come and put an action plan. Don't just be one of those that, I'll march. Nothing wrong with marching, but then go do something. Come up with a plan that nobody's seen yet that's not going to actually take root until the next opportunity that God gives us. Wait until, do the work in the dark when nobody's looking. Not just yell and scream, but do the work. Spend the time on your knees so you do something and don't just sit and criticize everybody. Because that's what you'll do. You'll be a complainer and be proud of it too. Next one says this. Read it with me, number three, everybody. So, okay, just take money out of the equation. What would you do? If somebody was going to drop, listen, the reason why you don't see a lot of miracles where somebody just drop all kinds of stuff in front of you, it's because you haven't taken the step of faith to go after what it is that he's calling you to do. So God can't, he's not going to show you the money until you take the step of faith. Too many of us want, here's what we want. God, give us the comfort zone, make this one, take this one, Jesus, and put it over here, and then we will go. When you bring this one over here, then I'll go. And he's like, no, Joe, that takes no faith. You don't need me to do that. I've done all the work, which therefore means you're going to take all the credit because you did it all yourself. He says, no, I need you to take the step of faith and then watch me provide and meet all your needs according to his riches and glory. Number four, here's what he says. You've got to figure it out. He says, what is it that brings me bliss? What gets me excited? What gets me overwhelmed when I see this working out right? When you're watching it and you see it unfold, you just start weeping because you can't believe it's happening. What is that? Here's the next one. Everybody read number five. What's most important in your life? And then the last one says, what are you willing to die for? Here's the questions we're asking. What are we trying to get to? What are those things that are core to who you are? Why is that important? Because it reveals what breaks your heart. It reveals what you want people to line up and tell you thank you for. And that's what we're after. If you're going to know, and if you're going to begin the process of working out what God's called you to do, why he's left you here, why after you got saved, he didn't beam you up into heaven, it's because he wants to partner with you so you can get done what he's written on your heart. How dare you and me? How dare us? Say, God, I don't care about your peace. God, I don't care about what you've... How dare you say to him, God, I know the puzzle piece that you've given me, but I don't want to know what comes, what are the other pieces that go around it. God, I don't want to see the big picture that you have been painting. I don't want to see that. I just want to play it safe and just get my own lifesaver and preserve my own life so that I just, me and my family are so happy together and feast on satisfying ourselves as opposed to doing what he's called you to do. What you gonna do about it? Here's what our hope is this week, that this week you'll figure out what those four or five core things to you are. What breaks your heart, what you want people to tell you thank you for. That's what we want you to do. And so, as you go through this week, your time with the Lord, your time in your small groups, your time in every needs to be asking, what breaks your heart? Because we're going to identify that, and then we're going to show you what you need to do about it. But we're committing no regular attendee at this church that does not know what breaks their hearts, that does not know their white hot why, that does not know their calling, their unique customized purpose for your life. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you have two more. Let me fill them out for you quickly. Come on. What you cherish at your core is what you aim at with your life. What you cherish at your core is what you aim at with your life. And then the last one is, small decisions every day leads to a life on purpose. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, do not be a ship without a rudder, aimlessly floating and going nowhere. The rudder of your life is your calling, and it directs where your life should be going. That's a prayer for everybody. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to make plain your word. Will you help us, God, to take up our cross daily and follow you? Will you help us, God, to pledge allegiance to you? May you call the shots. Not my mama, not my dad. May you call the shots, not my wife, not my kids. May you call the shots, not myself. Will you help me to allow you to call the shots over my life? When you do that, will you continue to reveal to me? Will you continue to reveal to us what our unique, customized call is for every last one of us so that we live life on purpose? So that we get to see a part of the picture that you're painting for your glory and for your honor. Have thine own way in our lives. Transform us from the inside out, we pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Come on, put your hands together for God. Come on. Here we go. Before you leave, if you want somebody to pray with you, when everybody else is going out, step out of your seats and come up. We'd consider that an honor. Number two. If you're here today and you want to join our church, then if you look at our growth track, it's next Sunday after church. All you've got to do is just show up and sign up online and be a part of that experience to get in the growth track. Any one of those four that you want to take, that's our process of maturing people in Christ. Feel free to do that. And then if you're a guest, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of our experience today. Please, right after church, just fill out one of those cards, take it in, and they'll give you a gift and tell you thanks for coming. If you're a volunteer here today, every volunteer, everyone, gets a free gift from Chick-fil-A today. One of our members is an owner-operator, and they don't live on this side. The company's not on this side of town, so there's no personal benefit to them. It's for any one of you, wherever you go to Chick-fil-A, you'll get some free gifts for the next 4 days or the next 4 weeks or something. So you can go get it if you volunteer. If you don't volunteer, if you start today, you can get one. Anyways, thanks for being here, everybody. You're going to be let out in sections. When your section is illuminated, please, you can leave. If your section is not illuminated, please just greet the people around you in the name of Jesus. Thanks for being here. God bless. You're dismissed in sections. Thanks, guys.